The sermon this evening comes from Galatians chapter 1, starting with verse 6. Galatians chapter 1, starting with verse 6. I am amazed that you are so quickly deserting him who called you by the grace of Christ for a different gospel, which is really not another. Only there are some who are disturbing you and want to distort the gospel of Christ. But even if we or an angel from heaven should preach to you a gospel contrary to what we have preached to you, he is to be accursed. As we have said before, so I say again now, if any man is preaching to you a gospel contrary to what you received, he is to be accursed. For am I now seeking the favor of men or of God? Or am I striving to please men? If I were still trying to please men, I would not be a bondservant of Christ. Pray with me. Father, help us now as we come to your word, as we examine it carefully, as we look to you with hope that you will teach us, as we look to you, trusting in your grace, trusting in your power, trusting in your Holy Spirit, that you will give us good understanding, that we will walk in accordance with grace, that we will walk in accordance with truth, and that we will indeed proclaim the true gospel of Jesus Christ to our own hearts, to our households, to our neighbors, and to the world. It is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Years ago, my friends and I, we used to go to a place where there was a 90-foot bridge, and we would throw a rope down over the side, and we would rappel down off of the side. We would do different stunts, and we would do different tricks as we would work on it, and one of the ways that we enjoyed going down was face first. So you had to take your harness, you had to hook up the mechanism on the back of it, and you would go and you would stand on the bridge to jump off face first as you would go down. Because the mechanism was not on your front, you couldn't look at it. So you had to have someone else hook the back up for you. So I had asked a friend of mine that was there if he would hook up my harness on the back, and he hooked it up. He told me I was ready. I stood up on the bridge. I leaned forward and was standing on the face of it. And in a moment, I felt a snap click. And my body jarred. Something was wrong. Another friend of mine shouted, "You're not hooked." Something was wrong, and I was about to fall. We look at the scripture, and Paul is speaking in the sharpest possible terms here. He's speaking in the sharpest possible terms about the gospel of Jesus Christ, and he's saying if someone is bringing one to you, a gospel to you, that's different than what you have been told, this guy is going to hell. This man is accursed to the fires of hell forever. Why would he speak like that? Some people would look at that and say, well, that's not very Christ-like. That's not very kind. That's not very loving. This is the very word of Christ. This is the very word of God. The reality is, because if a gospel is brought, or even if you yourselves bring a gospel, a good news to someone that is not the true gospel, you're hooking up their harness. You're telling them, stand up on the edge of the bridge. You're telling them to jump off. You are bringing them to the place of destruction where they would imagine that they are safe, where they would imagine that they are cared for. So our call for you, our call tonight is for you to stand firm in the true gospel. To stand firm in the true gospel. And we will unpack what that means. Our first step is to look at gospel faith as faithfulness or adultery. Look at gospel faith as faithfulness or adultery. Galatians 1:6. I am amazed that you are so quickly deserting him who called you by the grace of Christ for a different gospel. So he's saying, when this message has been changed and you have accepted a changed message, he's not saying you've given up on an idea. He is saying You have deserted him. You have deserted Christ. That is, you have deserted your husband. Paul looks at it and he says that he is amazed. He is amazed when someone comes to us and someone says, you know, I have a question about something you've done. Even in a moment like that, we're like, oh. And we can get defensive and we can get angry that someone would question something that we have done. Even if they just have a question about it, how much more so if an apostle says, I'm amazed that you would do this. I am shocked that you would do this. I am shocked that you would even entertain this. I am amazed that you so quickly deserted him. That is the one who made you. That is the one who sustains you. That is the one who has called you by his grace. The grace that we were talking about in Christ Jesus, the covenant faithfulness, saying you're throwing it off. You are deserting Jesus Christ. And he brings in the aspect of grace for us, that we're saved only by his faithfulness. Saved only by what Jesus Christ has done. If we were to turn to Ephesians chapter 6 and we look at that part on the spiritual armor, the idea of standing firm in the preparation of the gospel of peace, that is where we stand. What is a soldier if he cannot stand? If he does not have sure footing, he's lost and he's undone. So we stand in the gospel of Jesus Christ. Our next step, number 2, remember that without the gospel of Jesus Christ, there is no good news. Without the gospel of Jesus Christ, there is no good news. Verses 6 and 7. I am amazed that you are so quickly deserting him who called you by the grace of Christ for a different gospel, which really is not another. This idea of there being another good news, the idea of there possibly being some other answer. I was coming out of the hot dog shop this past week in downtown Beaver Falls, and as I came out, there was this child walking down the street, and I had been bombarded recently with broken lives around me and seeing the troubles and the torments. And we can look at the children around here and wonder, what hope do they have? What peace do they have? What answer do they have? And as I saw this child walk by and I hadn't spoken to him, I was thinking about the boy and I was lamenting a bit about the boy. And then I remembered, I actually have the good news that boy needed. We actually have the good news that everybody needs. And we look at our lives, and even when we would go out and we did our evangelism as a church, I remember the fear and the anxiety in my heart when I would look at someone and want to go and speak to them about the gospel. What is this in us that is so fearful in such a situation? Why can't we walk up to someone and give them good news? Why can't we walk up and give hope? Romans 1, 16 and 17, Paul says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, but the righteous man shall live by faith." There's so much that we can give people, and there's so much that we can offer that is no good news at all. I told you about the man that I had met in the jail, and he had won $30,000 in a lottery. $30,000 in the lottery. And amazingly enough, him having won that was his story of how he ended up in jail. He actually said that he thanked God that he didn't win 50. Because if he had won 50, he was sure that he would be dead by then. What do we have to give people? Is it money that they need? Is it building supplies that they need? As we look at other countries, is it structure that they need? What do we have to give? What do we have to offer? What good news is there in a broken world? But that the Holy God has sent His Son to redeem the lost, that they can be reconciled to the Holy God through Jesus Christ, and that through all of this, they can be healed and have a relationship with Him. So there is no good news apart from the gospel. There is no actual hope that we are able to give. At best, we are a band-aid on someone who is bleeding out. But the gospel is eternal life. The gospel is the true good news. Our next step, number three, is remember that a distorted gospel is no good news. Remember that a distorted gospel is no good news. No one was coming to the Galatians and saying, forget about Jesus. They were not coming to the Galatians and saying, forget about elders. They were not coming to the Galatians and saying, forget about worship. But they were coming to the Galatians and saying, yes, you believed in Jesus, fine, but now in order to be saved, you must take on this ceremonial law. You must take on these works in the flesh. Otherwise, you are not saved. They were adding to the gospel of Jesus Christ. They were adding some element that had to be positioned there. But the problem with that is, when you add anything else to it, you ruin it. When you add anything else to it, you make it based on man. You make it man's good news rather than God's good news. I have told you a number of times a testimony I heard from someone, and she said she was so thankful for Billy Graham preaching the message, and she was so thankful that she had received it. There was no message of Christ. I have heard people in their testimony share they are so thankful for this individual or that individual with no message and no speaking of Christ. I have heard people explain their sinful condition and where they had been and now how good they are. And they in essence said, now come and be like me, without a real message of Jesus Christ. The gospel of Jesus Christ lays it out plainly. Jesus' ministry, when he went forth, he said, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. He laid out the idea of man's guiltiness. He laid out the idea of God's perfection and of judgment upon mankind. When the apostles preached, they explained Jesus Christ and Him crucified in a salvation that comes by faith alone. Jesus Christ and His resurrection was explained, the power of life over death, which is the good news for this world. And people were called to faith and to repentance. This is the gospel of Jesus Christ. This is our hope, and a distorted gospel is no good news at all. So our next step, number four, is watch out for shocking and cursed distorters. Watch out for shocking and cursed distorters. Again, verse 8. I am amazed that you are so quickly deserting Him who called you by the grace of Christ for a different gospel. But even if we or an angel from heaven should preach to you a gospel contrary to what we have preached to you, he is accursed. That means we can look at the teachers of this world, those who speak to people and say, peace, peace, where there is no peace. Peace, peace, where there is no conviction of sin. Peace, peace, where there is no call to repentance. We can say with a certainty that they are accursed. So many in this nation, so many in this world, run to the preachers who will simply tickle their ears, telling them what they would like to have. telling them what they would like to hear. The other part of this idea is for those who reject the true gospel. There are those who will distort it just by changing it a bit, but there are those who reject the idea. There was a council in 1547 that was answering the Reformation. They actually said that if anyone shall say that by faith alone the impious is justified, so as to mean that nothing else is required to corroborate in order unto obtaining the grace of justification, that it is not in any respect necessary that he be prepared and disposed by the movements of his own will, let him be anathema. That word anathema is the word accursed from the Greek. They said, if anyone says that it is salvation by grace alone, by faith alone, if it is justification apart from another working by man, that person is going to hell. There are multiple distortions of the gospel, but all of them make it a works of man rather than a work of God. So you must look and listen. Listen to the message. Listen for the gospel. Listen for the true direction. Listen for the call to faith and repentance, but a salvation that is based on faith alone. And this brings us to our fifth step. The true gospel seeks God's favor, not men's. The true gospel seeks God's favor, not men's. Galatians 1:10. For am I now seeking the favor of men or of God? Or am I striving to please men? If I were still trying to please men, I would not be a bond servant of Christ. So we come back to the idea of the situations in which each of us have the opportunity to share the good news and to share the gospel. What is it that stops us? What breaks us down? Is it fear of men? Let's take the idea of fear and make it akin to reverence. We are to fear God only, to worship Him only, to serve Him only. Do we serve men more if we fear them more than we fear God and reverence Him? There's a scary idea here, and I would look at the men on TV who preach and have these giant stadiums full of people, and they never reference sin, and they never reference repentance. I would look at them, and I would be aghast at them, and I am. I'm offended by them. I'm offended that they do not preach the gospel when they have such a crowd in front of them. I would say these are false prophets bringing another gospel. They tell men what they want to hear, and they like it. Where do we fall in that category? How close are we in this life and in this world to being those who would just tickle the ears of the people around us and only give them what they would like? Frankly, this idea scares me even for myself. Last week, I think it was, when I preached on the head coverings, I was shocked by how nervous I was by that. I was shocked by the fear in my heart. And I realized, oh yes, Micah, you are very bold when you're sure the congregation all agrees with you. What a sad place, what a sad reality to be in, to be at the place where we are pushed or so influenced by pressure and so influenced by fear. Well, we come to this place and we must recognize and see in our lives and in our relationships and ask the question, when we will not share the gospel, is it because I fear men? And we'll even speak in terms of reverence. Or revere man more than I revere God. The people that we meet, the people that we know, and the people that we claim to love. So for this move, for move number five, calling upon you to love God more than you love man. To fear God more than you would fear man. May we be in such a position where we could say, for am I seeking the favor of men or of God? Or am I striving to please men? And he says, if I were still trying to please men, I would not be a bondservant of Christ. We have to look at ourselves, and I'm not questioning your salvation at this point. But we do need to question, is our life living up to our testimony? Are our actions living up to our testimony? Are we living like bondservants of Christ? Or are we living like people who still fear man more than Christ? This brings us to our sixth step. The gospel belongs to God, not men. The gospel belongs to God, not men. Verses 11 and 12. For I would have you know, brethren, that the gospel which was preached by me is not according to man. For I neither received it from man, nor was I taught it, but I received it through a revelation of Jesus Christ. This idea of the gospel having been brought specifically by Jesus Christ and given to Paul. It's as if God, from the foundation of the world, orchestrated all of time and all of history, prophesied Jesus Christ coming in the flesh, prophesied Jesus Christ dying on the cross for the forgiveness of sins, prophesied Jesus Christ rising from the dead, and he gives this picture to Paul, and Paul has it, and Jesus says, now go and take it to the world. Paul takes this message and he comes and he brings it and he announces it faithfully. What right does Paul have at that point to say, this is nice, but I think I could do it a little better. This is nice, but let me tweak it here a little bit so that everybody will like it even more. Do we imagine that we could do such a thing? Do we imagine that we could alter the gospel and distort it that way? Could he come and say, this is nice, but I think people will be less offended if I take this piece out and throw it away? Can he do that? He cannot. Can we do that? We cannot. Can we improve upon the gospel? I have been told that when missionaries went to the East and they came and they brought the message of the gospel, when they heard the story of the virgin birth, they were into it. They loved it. They rejoiced in it. They delighted in it. But then when it came to the cross, they were like, no, we hate that part. It's disgusting. Leave it out. And they said, give us Mary. We like the Mary thing. We like that part of the story. And so can we do that? Can we just give the happy part? Can we just give the enjoyable part? No, because the happy part and the enjoyable part isn't the whole thing. Without the death of Christ, without the resurrection of Christ, without the call to faith and repentance, there's no good news. No one is hooked. No one is saved. No one is rescued. Now, where will this play out in our lives? So this will play out in every element of our lives where we are really loving people. Remember, love is a commitment to someone's eternal good. Love for God and love for our neighbor. If I love that kid walking down the street, I think I would have spoken to him. The people that we see around us with the broken lives, we'd show them how to get hooked. We would show them the gospel. We would show them the truth. As we look at our lives and we discern who we are we bond servants of men or are we bond servants of Jesus Christ? And we must look and see, do our lives line up with our testimony? What is the reality of our lives? What is the reality of our faith? So you who are bond servants of the Lord Jesus Christ. Look and see. Look and see. Are you living it? Look and see. Are you loving the Lord Jesus Christ? Look and see. Are you loving your neighbors? If you are convicted, you are not alone. If we look at our lives and we mourn, if we look at our lives and we even see that our good works, even our works of mercy that we do for others, apart from the gospel, could really be compared to filthy rags. We can stroke people and compliment people. We can give people money. We can give people rides. We can give people anything that they need. But if we haven't given them the gospel, we have given them no good news. We have not blessed them. We have not really helped them. So the call tonight for each of us is to stand in the true gospel. And if you're at a place where you don't know how to do that, let's talk about it. Let's work on it. We can meet together. We can pray together. And we would be faithful in these things. We can encourage one another. We can support one another in these things. That Christ would truly be glorified as we are a people shining on a hill, the true light of the true gospel. Pray with me. Our Lord, we thank you for your mercy that does last forever. We thank you, God, that it has been applied to our lives and that we look forward to life everlasting with you. God, help us in our lives to be truly loving, to seek the lost, and to proclaim your good news in Jesus Christ. Help us to hold fast to the true testimony that you would be most glorified. And Lord, add to your church. Add to your people. Add to your worship for your glory. May we truly see your kingdom come in our midst. May we truly see your will be done in our hearts and in our families, in our communities, as people call on the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Even as judges and rulers and officials bow the knee and kiss the Son, and may your wrath be turned from a land who has turned its back on you. It is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.